last week in a young boy asked his father if he had a New Year's resolution. His dad responded, "Yes, I do. My resolution is that I will do everything I can all through the year to please your mother." So the boy went to his mom and said, "So mom, do you have a New Year's resolution?" She said, "Yes, to make sure your father keeps his." What do you think are the probabilities that that resolution of that father will be kept all year? Pretty slim. Well, that would mean that he is in the majority, because a recent survey showed that only 35% of all Americans even make New Year's resolutions, and only 8% of the 35% actually keep one resolution for a year. On this first day of 2017, Jesus has a New Year's resolution for us. And I share his hope for that resolution. For Jesus' resolution is to give us a life fitness plan that can open our lives to those blessings we talked about at Advent and on Christmas, of hope and peace and joy and love, and the abundant life that Jesus promises 30 years after Christmas. Lives filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and generosity and gentleness and self-control and compassion and forgiveness and passion and purpose for our lives. And I said at the beginning this morning, my hope for this resolution for 2017 is urgent. I have 15 weeks left with the privilege of being your pastor. And my hope is in these last 90 days, basically, between now and Palm Sunday, that in some way, the Spirit of God will take hold of you in a new way that will make a lasting impact in your life. There are so many of you filled with these blessings of the abundant life, but I see in your lives, in your marriages, in your families, that some of these blessings are missing. And quite often, Jesus is missing. And Lord knows, Jesus needs us to go out and take him to the world. Fortunately, Jesus offers us a life fitness plan of 90 days, and he brings with it a guarantee. Because one of the first weeks at Meadow Lake, I gave $5 to Sally Walker. So it's been compounding interest for 8 3/4 years. And so if you follow this plan faithfully for 90 days and your life has not changed, I'm serious about this, that not only will I give you $5 plus interest in Sally Walker's life as more than one of you, I'll give you $5 plus compound interest to you as well. Money back guaranteed. So if you didn't put any money in, but you get it back anyway. How's that for a deal at the car dealership, Dick? Money back guaranteed even though you didn't give any money. Perfect. Yeah, exactly. So Jesus reveals his plan in the second chapter of the book of Acts. And what's happened here is Jesus has been crucified on the cross. He's been raised from the dead. And now he spends 40 days with his disciples and 120 men and women describing his teachings, reminding them of what he said and of his promises of abundant life and eternal life. And then he turns to them and he says, "Okay, now you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But don't do this," he says, "until the Spirit of God comes into your life and fills you with his fire and power." And then Jesus goes off to heaven. And these 131 people gather together in prayer, and while they're together, on the day we call Pentecost, 10 days later, suddenly the Holy Spirit comes down on them with power and with fire, and they're so filled with the Spirit, they go out in the streets, and they spread the word in all kinds of languages, and Peter gets up, and he gives this powerful sermon. At the end of the sermon, he concludes with the offer of his life fitness plan. And we see how the people respond. We see what the plan is for us, and how it could change our lives as it changed their lives as well. Here's what happens. Here's how Peter concludes and what happens next. "Therefore," Peter says, "let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah," which means Savior. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, for all whom the Lord shall invite. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from the sick and stupid culture. Now, I know some of you parents say, don't say that S word in front of our kids. I'm sorry. This is what we're saying today. The sick and stupid culture. Those who welcomed, who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed through the apostles. All the believers lived in wonderful harmony and held everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day, they continued to meet together in the temple. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and joyful hearts. They praised God and demonstrated the goodness of God to everyone, so the people liked what they saw. And the Lord added to their number every day those who were being saved. Now, each of you who has claimed Jesus as your Lord and Savior has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes that Spirit seems to have been tampered down a good bit. So I want to remind you this morning with a wonderful video from my perspective, Sally's perspective, of what it looks like to be excited about having the Spirit in your life. So here's how this came about. So on Thursday night, we're sitting in our dining room table with what I call the Allen Army. That's Mark and Shannon, their four kids. And we have these great discussions about politics and elections and about faith. And so I was telling them, they were having a discussion about this message I was going to give you today. They were saying, Granddad, why don't you put that T like that at the end? So we had this good discussion about this. And so I was talking about the Spirit of God, and Emma, who's in the seventh grade, said, hey, Granddaddy, I got a cheer for you. She's on the cheerleading squad, not shockingly. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what, Emma, why don't we videotape this, and I'll show it to the people at Meadow Lake so they get fired up this morning, okay? So here, there are actually two videos. So we shot it at our house, and Emma was sideways. So we shot it again right back there in this corner, and here's Emma. Overnight, to share it with you. So, as I'm going to share with you a little bit later, they do have the Spirit. You can see it in their faith. They mean it. They're not talking about school Spirit. They're talking about the Spirit of God in their lives. And I'm going to tell you why, because they are on the life fitness plan of their own. So you and I are sometimes on fire with the Spirit like this. Not like that. Next slide. But then I hear you say it. Life gets in the way. We get busy and stuff happens. And so this happens. We put out the fire of the Spirit in our hearts and our lives. We're too busy. We're too distracted. We're too other focused. And the life fitness plan slips away, and key pieces of what Jesus wants in your life slips away, my friends, because we're too busy for Jesus. So Jesus knows it doesn't have to be that way. So he lays out this life fitness plan for us this morning, that if you'll just keep at it, what would have slipped away is actually going to well up in your life and is going to fill your life with his blessings. If you'll just try it for 90 days, I guarantee you, your life will be different. However, have y'all ever heard these advertisements on radio or read it in a magazine? They say, so here's this drug that you can take, right? And then what do they say? They have this long list of all these things. Probably going to kill you, but try it anyway, right? Well, they say, here's this offer, and by the way, this offer is limited by about 5,000 different things. Well, it turns out that Jesus has three conditions that have to be met in order for this life fitness plan to change your life. It's in four words. And the first life fitness plan condition is this: welcome. The scripture says that those who welcome his message receive Jesus in their lives. They receive the Holy Spirit and they were filled with gladness and with joy. And they lived in harmony with everybody. Would you like to live in harmony with everybody in your family? In your school? That's the offer. That's the offer. And they showed the goodness of God everywhere they went because they welcome the news. Peter puts the condition this way: repent of your sins. Whatever life choices you're making, whatever unhealthy habits you have that are getting in the way of this plan taking place in your life. That word repent means turn around, but it doesn't mean you turn around. It means your desire turns around for your life to be different, and then you let Jesus take it from there. You would think that everybody in these blue seats this morning, everybody who's claimed Jesus as their Savior would say, yeah, I want that. I want that enough for 90 days to actually do something that Jesus calls me to do. But too often, and I just a little bit of a stretch of a, what was the word you used last time, John, imperfect analogy? Something like that. This is imperfect, but stick with me. So this is what happened to the president of Harvard University in 1870, about that time. So this man and woman, not very well dressed, shows up in his office and say, we want to see the president of Harvard. And the president of Harvard blows them all through his secretary. I'm busy all day, he says. But they say, well, we'll just wait. So after a while, he finally says, well, I got to get rid of him. So he goes out. He doesn't even invite him in his office. He stands there and says, what do you want? And they said, well, our son went here and he really loved Harvard, but he died this summer, and we want to erect a monument, a memorial in his honor. And the president of Harvard says, look, we can't be erecting memorials to every Harvard student who died. And so, oh, we don't want to do a statue. We want to give a building. And the president of Harvard says, you don't know what you're talking about. Do you know, and this is, remember, these are $1,871, that this whole plant, we have an investment of over $20 million in this place. And the lady turns to her husband and says, it only costs $20 million to start a university? Let's go start our own. And Mr. and Mrs. Leland Stanford went back to their home in Palo Alto, California, and invested $40 million, which is $1 billion in today's terms, and started Stanford University. The lesson there is that we need to look beneath the surface. Here's the warning Peter gives us of our choice. He says, save yourself from this sick and stupid culture. This culture that glorifies pride and greed and stuff and money and things and violence and power and selfishness and popularity and good looks. That values media stars over social workers. That values football players more than a teacher. That says my way or the highway instead of the right way. That values Facebook more than the good book. You don't believe that? How much time do some of you spend on Facebook? and learning from Facebook rather than the Bible itself. Do you know that our culture is so sick and stupid that we want fake news? And even when we know it's fake, we believe it anyway because of what we want to think. My friends, we live in a sick and stupid culture. We live in a culture that laughs at Jesus as unfashionable and out of date and uncool and unrealistic. Our choice is to get beneath the glitz to the substance. Our choice is to decide whether we're going to vote with our lives to the sickness of our stupid culture or the life-giving ways, the healing ways of Jesus Christ. That's our choice. We can either choose the sand of our culture or the rock of Jesus. Don't miss it, friends. That's our choice. So Peter says, those who welcomed the word, who wanted this for their lives were changed. We'll know what our choices is by whether we embrace Jesus' second condition to this life fitness plan, which is devoted daily. When the people welcome the offer of Jesus, choosing Jesus over their sick and stupid culture all around them, they devoted themselves, the scripture says, every day, to learning God's word, to living God's word, to opening their homes, to come together to praise God, to offer the goodness of God wherever they were, to live in harmony with each other. That word devoted in Greek means dedicated completely. This means that we live and pray and serve and love and imitate Jesus, not just when it suits us, not just when it's convenient, not when we just have to go to soccer practice, but all the time. Jesus is the guiding focus of our lives. This is the challenge many of us face when we decide we're going to get in shape. Anybody ever had a New Year's resolution? I'm going to get in shape this year. Raise your hand if you've ever done that. I'm going to get in shape this year. Whoo, yeah. I talked to you, some of you, almost 9 years ago, you're going to get in shape, and guess what? Mm-mm, not yet. So what's the problem here? So we go to the gym a few times, and what happens? Well, we got to take so-and-so to soccer practice, and it's raining, and I've got a cold, and, you know, there's this thing to go to, and you know what happens when you miss a few days? What happens? Whoo. We're not devoted. And we're not devoted daily. And so what happens is, I just got a lot of things I want to share with you all today that I just cannot pass up on. What happens, we're just wishing and hoping that we're going to look like this. That guy's saying, wow, excuse the violation of the copyright, by the way. It's okay. So this guy's saying, I wish I could be like that, but he's just wishing and hoping. Let's look at this next one. Here's this woman, that's who she wants to be, and that's all she'll ever be. Unless she is devoted daily to making it happen. And this is the best one of all. We actually look in the mirror and say, boy, we're looking good when nothing, not one thing had happened. That's me. I still got red hair when I look in the mirror. Y'all know that? I do. So here's what happens when we're not devoted every day to making a change in our lives. So for 90 days... what the research says, if you do this for 90 days, if you do spirit it for 90 days, you will develop a new life habit. It'll be a Jesus life habit. And every day, all day, Jesus is going to be in your mind. You're going to be looking for ways to serve, people to pray for, ways that the Word of God can rise up in you, the way that you can interrelate with love instead of that, some of that other stuff you relate with. And your life will imitate Jesus wherever you go. Because this is the only way change happens, like this. It's a process. You start out, and today you begin with what the assignment for the day. And you keep at it, and you keep at it. Before it looks like, you're going to look like that right there in the end. Y'all like that? Some people like that. Some like, I don't know, too much muscle. You can start with the one that's behind that. But the point is, in order for life to be changed, it's a process. And the process has to happen every day, intentionally, devoted daily. Now, I know this is true. I don't know how many years it's been. I think about 20 when I read a book called The Life You Always Wanted by John Ortberg. And what he says is, You got to train for your life to be more like Jesus. And here's the way you train. Pretty much the stuff that we've talked about this morning already. In my life, I have grown and grown and grown into the person that Jesus wants me. Am I there yet? No. Y'all know that. But I am not the same person I was 20 years ago. You know why? Because I am devoted every day to being more like Jesus through his word and prayer and serving and loving. I am so much more a loving person than I've ever been in my life. And for that to happen for us, we need to be devoted to it every day. So I know that it's maybe not the greatest thing in the world to talk about your own family, but I really see this in the Allen Army. That's what I call them. Just like you, they had a great church life. I mean, they're in church every time the door opens. But then they went to Beijing. And in Beijing, they were living a very busy life, and they were living this bubble. And as a family, they realized they were losing Jesus, that he was just becoming an add-on to the rest of their life instead of the other way around. And so they wrote out and signed this commitment. Here's a summary of it. To live lives full of joy, delighting in the Lord, living God's word, see the world, save the world, impact the world with goodness and love of Jesus. See the world, serve the world, impact the world with the love of Jesus. That takes daily devotion. Glorify the Lord every day, claiming the strength that he gives us, and stand up for his righteousness every day. And almost every day, they check in to see how they're doing. I'm telling you, friends, this family gets it. Jesus is right in the dead center of their life. Nothing happens in that family without Jesus. And people see it, and people want it. Do you want the joy of Jesus to be right in the center of your life? The only way that happens is to be devoted to it, dedicated to it, doing what it takes, doing what these folks did in our scripture today, every day. Yet there is one more absolutely essential third condition to Jesus' life fitness plan, and it is the word together. I don't know what you're going to remember about today, but I want you to remember this. Jesus never, ever wants us to try to be more like him by ourselves. How do we know that? He started with 12 disciples. The Holy Spirit came when 131 people were together. We are the body of Christ, and Jesus says that everybody in the body has got to contribute something, otherwise the body is not working. We need everybody. And those first life fitness plan adherents, they devoted themselves. Everyone was filled. Believers lived in harmony. They met in the temple together. They ate together. And they offered the goodness of God together. Now, you know this is true. Now, if you take on a physical fitness plan and you just do it by yourself, or you do it with somebody else, which one, A or B, are you more likely to succeed? Why is that? That's because we need somebody to support us and hold us accountable and encourage us. And if you do it with more than two, that is three or more, it's even more successful because chances are more than one person is going to slack off. And the others can lift up. We call it accountability. I don't like that word. I think the word is encouraging and supporting and saying, so Fred, why is it you're slipping from the fitness plan that Jesus wants for you? So here are our choices here this morning. Back up. There we go. So if you try to run this fitness plan by yourself this morning, without Jesus and anybody else, your chances of this happening in your life is zero. If you run it with two people together, with Jesus in your heart, good chance that you're going to make it part of the way. But this is the way it really needs to happen with all of us in our groups doing this together. Here's what I encourage you to do. I hope that you'll just take this fitness plan. Next slide. Oh, I forgot this. John, this is you and Amy's honor. I want to mention this to you. The truth here is, Ecclesiastes says that one will be overpowered. Two can defend themselves. And a cord of three cannot be easily or quickly broken. So we have three together, doing this plan together. The chances are that it's not going to break, and 90 days from now, the blessings are going to flow. So here's what I want for you, is hopefully this. There you go. This is going to be a challenge for some of you, but I want you to go to your small groups and say, let's do this together as a small group. Do that. Why not? Or at least go with two other people or two families, but not just your family. Brandy and Doug together doesn't work. No offense to you and Brandy and Doug, but you know, there's too much baggage in a family. Too many. The family will have the same excuses, right? So don't just do it with your family. So Brandy, Doug, that's two. We'll throw in Tyler, that's three. And Dylan tosses in, that's four. I mean, that is not going to work. Promise you. That's one. So get together with at least one or two other families, mainly your small group, and commit to this fitness plan. I'm begging you to do this. Because I know your life will be different. Guaranteed. So I'm going to close this morning with some New Year's Day's cliches. You're going to love me. Because they're cliches. But they come from our scripture. Because what happens here is the scripture says, is that when Peter made the offer of the life fitness plan, 3,000 people committed to the plan. When? That day. Procrastination is the enemy of transformation. If you say to me, oh, well, we'll do this next week when it's not raining. We'll do this when we talk to our small group. We'll do it. Today is the day to make this commitment. So here's the cliche. First one is, today is the first day of the rest of your life. True? I like to change that word up to four for the rest of your life. You are always one choice away from changing your life. And I hope you make this choice today. Remember, as long as you are breathing, we're one behind. One more. Next. Remember, as long as you are breathing, it's never too late for a new beginning. Doesn't matter where your life has been, how much you've messed up, how many times you've dropped the ball. It doesn't matter. As long as you took a breath this morning, you can start a new beginning, and I hope it's this one. And finally, this one, which is probably the best advice of all, cliche-wise, take the first step. You know you can go at least that far, and quickly discover the next step is within your reach, and the next, and the next, and the next. It starts with one step, and I hope that one step starts today. You can take one step. You can read the scripture today. There's nothing standing in your way of reading the scripture and saying, what word is God laying on my heart? There's nothing in your life that can stop you from doing that, except you. So I have 15 more weeks with the privilege of being your pastor. Now, I hope in my prayer is that you will embrace this 90-day fitness plan, not as a gimmick, but as what comes from the Word of God. Word of God for you. And I hope you will do it together so that 90 days from now, you will look back and say and see that on January 1, 2017, a new day dawned for you, but not just for you, the people who love you and the people who are counting on you to lead them. A new beginning could dawn this day. Amen.